I haven't seen you since last year. It's been a few days. My family hung out with family, and I thank you for allowing me to do that. Matthew, thank you for sharing the gospel from the pulpit last week. Great things. It's a joy to share this pulpit. It's a joy to share this pulpit, right? God has called so many people with so many gifts, and we want to use them. I love sharing this with the singers. There's so many, and it started with just a couple, and many, many have walked through this stage. Some are serving on the mainland to this day. Over the years, God has brought passion to people in lots of different ways. It's a joy to serve together. One of the highlights of my trip, as my parents are relocated to Tennessee, which is where we went, we found ourselves on a very cold and crazy evening. Later in the evening, we found ourselves in a small hallway, very similar to this hallway right outside this door here, just a narrow little area with about 18 people crammed in and around the walls, kind of on the stairwell, and an old piano. I mean, a really old piano that was still fairly in tune, that got moved from Florida to Tennessee and ended up in this hallway of what I call my sister's house. She hosted this dinner. My dad sat down at this piano, and after a couple minutes, which were really bad, it just came to him. One Christmas carol after another, and I won't forget being able to stand on one side, my bro on the other side, my sons on one side, and all of us singing the best that we could, the third and fourth verse of Joy to the World. You know how it is. Everybody knows the first verse. And we went on and on and on. Before you know it, an hour passed by. The highlight of my trip, one of the highlights of my being a son and as a, to watch my father and my mother, nowhere near in my dreams would I think we were going to be able to do that again. It took me back 15 years or more where we had done something similar. It's been that long since our family's been together. My brother's been a pastor in Liverpool, England. And when he moved back to the States, actually to the state of Tennessee, we had moved to California. So we hadn't really seen everybody together. So thank you for allowing me to have this last week. We made the most of it. It's very cold weather, very rainy, a lot of indoor stuff together with fam. But basically, how's mom and dad doing? So it was a great visit. And thank you for your prayers. They're still hanging in there. They're still hanging in there. You know, I thought very carefully about something my wife gave me for a birthday gift this week. She allowed us to go back to an area of Tennessee on the opposite side of where we were with family to a place I grew up spending most of my summers. As a young kid going into basically some middle school years, not quite late middle school, but early middle school years, my parents sent me and my sister up to Tennessee to spend the summers. I'd run around the mountains and the creeks, do a lot of climbing, a lot of outdoor stuff. My grandfather played a big role in teaching me a lot of the outdoor stuff at those years. And I went back there. Boy, had it changed. Things had changed quite a bit, and that's natural. But our first stop actually was to the cemetery. I had a chance to see where my uncle was laid to rest a couple of months ago, and my aunt 9 months ago, a cousin, my grandfathers who went before me, and my grandmother. Her tomb said, her headrest said, 100 years. 100 years. She had been through the World Wars. She'd seen the first automobile, the first plane in flight, the Depression years, and to see all of the life that goes within that little dash between the years of 1910 and 2010. Unbelievable. And I couldn't just leave there. Shelley was very patient. As the sun was setting, it actually came out that night, and we just stood there and felt the breeze blowing, and I just reflected on life and decisions. The 30 years that I had on the planet, so to speak, with my grandmother, specifically the way people have rubbed off on me, this message of discernment and understanding, played a big role in those few moments where I stood in that area of the cemetery. Just a beautiful place. I don't fear those places. Some people do. But those are just bones. Those are the body suits, right? I believe I'll see my grandmother again. I believe I'll see my brother again. I'll see my uncle. I'll see my aunt. They professed a faith in Jesus, and I have hope. So I could walk there with confidence that they're not here anymore. But the legacy came to mind. Discernment, understanding, truly looking and seeing where things are going in my own life. It was my 50th birthday. You always reflect on your big 5-0, I hope. And for me, it was just a perfect gift. It was just the two of us, Shelly and I, and time with God in the elements. The ability to judge well. Discernment. To a believer, perception in the absence of judgment. I see this with a view to wanting some spiritual direction and also understanding. But I perceive this. It's truly a gift from God. It is one of the spiritual gifts. Discernment. I love it. The ability to understand something, to comprehend something. Understanding. It's not some kind of weird midlife crisis that I'm going through, I assure you. It's to literally think and see as we slowly become empty nesters, what is God's stages of life in my life? Where has He reached down into some very cracked foundations of my life to pull some of that junk up, to pull it to the surface as a man and do something about it, do something with it? And to cultivate something new so that that foundation becomes something that God can begin to use and work in my next stage of life. And as a woman for you also, where is God cultivating your heart at whatever stage of life you're in? Your teens, your 20s, 30s, 40s, 70s? God is up to something. He's not finished with you yet. As my dad sat down at the piano, and all these hymns and all these carols came to mind. And he just started playing them. It came better when he wasn't looking at the hymnal. He had a hymnal. He just couldn't find the right version of the song. And he blamed it on the hymnal. And then he would blame it on the foot pedal of the piano. But when that went away and he just started playing. And the rhythm of what God has done over the years of just playing the piano came to mind. It went great. So what comes natural to you in these years where you're at? Most of us, we realize that to have both discernment and understanding, it's a journey. Everything's a journey. Actually, life is a journey. Christianity, to say I'm a Christ person, He's inside me, it's a journey. Doing the right thing, making decisions to do the right thing, a journey. Just because you come here today and maybe even hear this message and 2019, what do I want this year to look like? Is they went back and forth some really funny stuff, but occasionally they were dropping some serious stuff in there. It's a journey. And it doesn't mean that when you walk out of here that you're living right and making perfect decisions. It's not going to happen overnight. To realize that these things are changing you. Right conduct, so to speak. Outward behavior motivated by inward convictions. In other words, what's happening on the outside is matching something that's already happened on the inside. It's a beautiful thing to really see that those who live right or act right do so because of some internal desire. Amen? It's more than just following the law. It's more than just following some rules because rules don't have long-term motivation, do they? They didn't work on me in school. Long-term motivation. Rules do not govern one's heart. Coming up real soon in school, exams will be happening. Major tests. Most of us have gone through all of that. But if a teacher said, here's a rule. If you cheat, you're kicked out of school. We take it so seriously. We've put surveillance cameras in certain classrooms, perhaps. Or we've hired policemen. Now, as I saw in some of the schools where we were at, to monitor that you don't cheat. We take this seriously. If you cheat, you're kicked out. Just imagine a teacher doing that. You could sit there and not cheat as a student. but still have what? The heart of a cheater. I won't do it at this moment. But this rule says you're not going to cheat. You might not cheat, but you still have a cheater's heart. This is not a message today on don't cheat, do the right thing. That's not what it's about. But I think in terms of the way students do things here, and I hear about it, it's a message on your heart. You can't separate right conduct or how you live your life from your heart. They can't be separated. Does that make sense? The two of them go together. And standing there in that cemetery, I realized as I looked at the names on each of these plates in front of me, and I walked very slowly from one to the next. Then I called my dad. I had the privilege of him answering the phone, and we had some conversation over other things. I realized that certain things matched up. Maybe some didn't. I still am thinking about it. But I see that name, and I realize why that name impacted me so much. What was the legacy that they left it? What wasn't separated? It was the fact that right conduct wasn't separated from the heart of the person. They lived simple lives. And as a young man, I witnessed some very simple truths. It's one of the reasons I believe, and I may be wrong on this, and don't blow me off on this whole message if you disagree with me on this point. It's not that big of a deal. But I believe that drug assemblies that we see, they do little good. They inform students, but they don't transform, okay? Just say no to alcohol or no crystal meth, no, you know? The reason it doesn't work is because it's just head knowledge and it doesn't change the heart of the person that's there. They need a relationship. Only God can change the heart. Only God can. It will stop things temporarily, and maybe they can discover God in that temporary moment. I hope they do. But the heart is where those things begin and where they end. Tax season's right around the corner for some people. They've already started working on their taxes. What does using wisdom, understanding, and discernment look like when doing our taxes? Honestly, my friends. Good work and faith can't be separated. Big words in Avalon. Hypocrisy and shallow. And non-Christians love to look at someone who says they're a Christian and say, "What a hypocrite. I can't believe what a hypocrite you are." They actually go to church and they live one way, and then their lifestyle doesn't reflect it on the outside. They love to say that. They love to call people hypocrites, including myself. Why do Christians do something like that? Or why do non-Christians do something like that? Because once they call somebody a hypocrite, what they can do intellectually is now, all of a sudden, disengage themselves from having to consider Christianity as an option. It's too easy. It's really an easy out, a cheap out. With poor understanding, they just say, "I just know too many hypocrites. I'm not going there. I'm not going to investigate that Jesus thing. This person right here, if that's the product, I don't want the solution." Track the logic with me. If I wanted to investigate diving, if I really wanted to understand the totality of scuba diving, get my PADI certification, would I go to a baby pool? That's not going to work. Kids in the baby pool have saggy, soggy diapers with arm floaties. They hold themselves when they have to go to the bathroom. They bounce around, they kick, they hold their breath a couple of seconds, do different things like that. But a baby pool simply is babysitting. All the kids start splashing. Then some kid pulls his diaper off. Literally, that's fun to watch. And actually, see what the parents do. That's even more fun to watch. The kids are crying when their floaty comes off the arm. I've learned nothing about diving, but I've been right there next to the pool. I've called myself a scuba diver, and that's simply just babysitting by the water. And if I were investigating scuba diving, I wouldn't go check out the baby pool. I would be in the back of the casino, sitting right there at the top of the stairs of the dive park, watching every move these guys make coming in and out of the water, and the way these women can control their breathing as they're outside, gasping for air. Someone throws peas into the water, and there's 1,000 fish that gather. How do they control their breathing as they're coming up and going down slowly? There's so much more than a baby pool offers. You understand the analogy. And for those to say hypocrite, and for those to look at investigating Christianity correctly, They have only to venture into the deep water of what Jesus offers into a relationship with discernment to say there's perception here that's not right. Your understanding needs work. It needs help. That's not what I'm about. Enter in. It's a big word here in our town. Hypocrisy, hypocrite. Outward behavior without inward convictions. I look right, maybe 1 hour of one day a week for some that go to church, but the rest of my life, you can't even tell the difference. It's an outward behavior without inward convictions. If you were to study the life of Christ, to literally take just a few moments, take a chapter, take a book in the New Testament, and just read to see that his anger was directed towards hypocrites. It was so real. There were prostitutes. Jesus poured out love and tried to restore them. There's one person he met at a well. He said, "You've got five husbands. The one you're living with right now is not even your husband." The Bible calls them notorious sinners. And yet Jesus poured out love and tried to reconcile them. He got angry at the religious hypocrites. He actually called them in Matthew 23, painted tombstones. Look good on the outside. You're dead on the inside. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. Somebody told me this week, their parents said to them, "Do as I say, not as I do." I had to stop them and say, "No, they don't. No way. They don't say that. I can't believe that." That's the essence of hypocrisy. Do as I say, not as I do. I'm still amazed this girl's parents say that. It's like a racial slur. I can't imagine that thinking is even still around. That's hypocrisy at its truest form. Then there's another word, shallow. Inward convictions, but no outward behavior showing those. When it comes to one's faith, a lot of us are shallow. And we have those convictions that we believe inside, but nobody knows about them. Nobody would even know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Christ. It's protected, it's guarded so much, you're afraid to react or speak out or even be seen in a certain group. Your faith has no teeth to it. There's no substance to it. That's shallow. Why do hypocrisy and shallow have to do with right conduct? What do they have to do? A lot. These are typically what we see. People who are hypocrites are people who are very shallow. They just are. Very rarely do you see people who have right conduct because of internal desires. They have internal desires and merge them together, and the right conduct comes out because of their inward convictions. That's what we're talking about this morning. It matches. There's something real about that person. And I'm not trying to create more hypocrites or create people to be shallow. I'm saying let's merge those two together, where convictions actually come out in who we are, because that's going to turn heads when people live that way. Amen? 2019 needs to start differently for a lot of us in this room. And wisdom and discernment is a great way and a great topic. One of the things I give you the opportunity to do all the time is to ask questions. Write them down, email, bump into me. Let's talk, ask. Let's go knee to knee. And I realize sometimes if you haven't been here in a while or it's been a year or so, it can be a little intimidating. You can write a question down. You can even email a pastor. I've never embarrassed anybody up front here. And if I use your situation, I'll ask your permission as I've done in the past. And we'll continue to do. I got an email from a guy who heard my message 2 weeks ago, just 2 days before Christmas. We interacted via email a little bit. He wrote me this question: "Andrew, I go to church almost every weekend. I accepted Christ about 2 years ago." And he's combined going from here to Singing Waters back and forth. So he has a lot of church going on in his life. "I have a few questions. Since I welcome God into my life, am I automatically going to heaven, or do I need to lead a great life from now on? To be totally honest, every once in a while I like to smoke weed with my friends. Not because I'm forced to, I just want to. Can I not do that if I devote my life to Christ? I don't want to get confused. No matter what, though, will I go to heaven, and spend eternity with Christ since I asked Him to come into my life. I don't know what to do. I want to be a Christian, but I don't know if I really am since I'm going against what the Bible may teach. Help me out. I thought this was a great question. I'm proud of him for asking that question. Instead of answering what Andrew Hobbs thinks, let me answer with what Jesus says in the Bible. Matthew 7:20 says this. Jesus said, "The way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced." The way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced. Jesus is giving a word picture here. He says that if you can tell it's a healthy tree by whether it's producing a healthy fruit, you got it. You can tell if it's a good tree, if good fruit is coming out of it. Amen? It makes sense. That's why I say to you, ladies, don't be attracted by a guy's looks. Be careful. That might get you first in the attention column. But if you want to know what a guy's really like, get to know him. Because how he lives his life is a direct indication of what's going on in his heart. If he's a jerk to the world, his heart is jerky. You want to know somebody, you can know somebody's heart by how they live their life. And the same is for guys, too. Beauty fades. But a woman who's got something inside, attractive on the inside, that's not going to fade. You want to know what she's like, you watch how she lives her life. Because Jesus said, a good tree bear good fruit. I tell some of the guys that I know, if you really want that girl to like you, don't let her know you. You got a lot of things to work on, bro. If she gets to know you right now, she's gone. I'm very frank with people. I've had people do that to me as well. I don't want to beat around the bush. Guys ask all the time, and as a result, they're searching for a potential mate when they date. And life change is important, and it needs to happen. Another verse that's clear and convicting, James 2. Do you still think it's enough just to believe that there is one God? Once again, James chapter 2. Do you still think it's enough just to believe that there is one God? This is a really good verse to that guy's question. Like, do you think it's just enough to believe you're going to heaven? Even the demons believe this, the verse continues. And they tremble in terror. Fool, when will you ever learn that faith that does not result in good deeds is useless? That's my message today. Discernment, understanding, faith in 2019 have got to result in good deeds or they're useless. Does anyone want a useless faith? Don't put your hand up. I don't want you to have a useless faith. There are so many things in our world that are useless. On the back of shampoo, and I bought a brand new one on our trip. Don't ask me why I do this. John knows this about me too. I bought a shampoo bottle because I was in, whatever, Walmart of Franklin, Tennessee, and decided to bring it home. It's just more weight in my luggage. I don't know. I just thought, I'm on the mainland, I'll buy shampoo. Useless words. I look at it. Soap in hand. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Duh, okay? It's just, I'm like, who takes the time to write this, much less read it? But if you don't know how to shampoo, you should not have hot running water near people. Those are useless words. A lot of useless things that kind of just survive in our world. They go round and round and round. Don't let your discernment faith be useless. And my prayer and my plea is this, don't go through life with a useless faith. Do the right thing. We're going to check out what the Bible has to say about understanding. Look at your sermon notes this morning. Take them in hand. If you need a copy, Michael's brought a bunch up front here, okay? And take a pen. We have some, okay? Take just a moment. I want you to grade yourself and look at a few of these issues underneath the absence of understanding. If you literally were to pull understanding out. So give yourself an A, B, C, D, or F. Hopefully not. But take a look at this first one. The struggle between knowing right from wrong. Okay? Thank you, Gina. Looks great. The struggle between knowing right from wrong. Come on, guys, wake up. There we go. Grade yourself. How you doing? We just finished 2018. Where are you sitting? A, B, C, D. Needs improvement. Love that one. Second one here. Follow the crowd rather than lead. Where are you at? How you feeling? And don't look at your spouse's answers. All right? I know that when two become one, they're one flesh. Hey, you still have your own identity in Christ. Where are you at? Where are you at in your personality? I'm serious. I've had to do this week and I loved it. I looked at the people that laid there before me, that had a life before me, and I did this exact same thing. Did they follow the crowd? What stood out about my grandmother? What stood out about my grandfather? What did my uncle leave as a legacy for his kids? Let's talk about you. Follow the crowd rather than lead. Where are you at? Let's look at the next one here. It's a tough one. There are commitments, but are they genuine? Are they real? I'm not just talking about some new ideas for 2019. I'm talking about real, rooted commitments in your friendships. What's there for you to discover? What have been kind of on the surface commitments, things that you kind of go in and out of? For instance, we have men's and women's small groups. They meet all over the place. They're actually different days too. And they fire up here again in the next month. And they take a little break for some of us in the summer as schedules and life changes. And then they pick up again during the school year. And for this year, as we were planning specifically the guys group, and we like to call them wild men, which indicate hearts that have come alive and God's brought that wildness back into our life to dream, to have passion, looking for beauty, looking for adventure, certainly recognizing battle and not fearing that. And we sat at Reed's porch, this before you were married, and we helped design what wild men could look like for this upcoming year. And within a few minutes, there were a couple of guys that were in the group. And they specifically said, you know what? I just need to start with the fact that I need to be more committed. I'm here tonight to help maybe put this vision out there, I know, but I could start with myself. I need to be more committed. I basically have found 1,000 reasons for not showing up to guys' stuff. And each night it just is big, it's important, but basically I was just my lazy butt sitting at home and I should have gone. It was so brutal, but the honesty was great. We love calling those guys core because they're real. They care. They care about their own situation. So what are those real commitments that maybe you've been dodging? What do they look like? What does it take? Let's go to the next one. What am I going to do? Where am I going next? Just talked to a young adult before the service started right out front. I'm about to be a senior. I don't know. My own son was home a week and a half ago, saying the same thing. My senior year's next year. I've got big plans, but I don't actually know if they're going to, you know, work out. So what does that look like? What's that confusion look like? Are you panicking? Are you anxious? Do you have someone to talk to about it? Is there anyone giving counsel in your life on this? Are there other men, other women? Is there a teacher? Is God's word seen as counsel for you? How often do you pray? Look at these questions. Are you confused in what to do with your life? Rhetorical questions. As you sit here today, are you dissatisfied or happy with parts of your life? Is there anything that you're wanting or wishing was different, perhaps? Are you looking for something more than you currently have with the life that you live? And do you feel like there are two of you at times? One that people know and the one that you really know, always having to look over your shoulder? Are you sick of kind of just doing whatever you feel like doing? Because it's going nowhere. I originally had cable up until this last year, and one of my favorite shows was American Pickers, okay? I understand it's coming to California. I just read that in the paper, and they're asking in the paper for people that may have something interesting. These guys pick from people's old stuff that they may have just sitting around to see if there's story and value to it, and they put a TV show together. It's rather interesting. The history behind these objects is usually my favorite. And I saw an episode recently on YouTube, which was cool. And this guy was handed a lot of money. He had some old pinball machines, and he gave them up. He's just like, I need this. He had some medical bills to pay off, and they handed him a wad of cash. And they're like, what are you going to do with this wad of cash for all this junk that we just took off of you? What's your plans? I mean, he had thousands of dollars in his hand, and he just said, I just want to do what I feel like doing. And the guys just kind of looked at each other like, you know, not. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, can you be a little more specific on that? Have you done what you feel like doing? And maybe you realized it's leading nowhere. This guy was in his 70s. He better figure it out quick. I just want to do what I feel like doing. So what was the last 70 years? In any of those questions that I asked, if they triggered a yes response or a that's me, I want to encourage you to really listen to this. Today we're talking about something that's very difficult to do, but something that really is the essence of change. Discernment. Asking God to perceive what's real versus actual judgment. And it's one of those qualities that when you have right conduct or when you do the right thing, it's a head turner. It's a game changer. Most of the people around you that don't have that are looking for someone to step up and lead them that way. Let's look at the next one here. Unsure of God's plan / will for my life. What am I going to do? Kind of like the last one, except for the fact that maybe you just haven't. You've run right up against a certain bracket, some things that you thought were going to happen, and here you sit right on the edge of the cliff. Do I jump? How far? What's going to happen? What's next? Once again, it's a letter grade. So most of you guys are going, C, C, C. Remember doing that on an exam? You have 5 minutes left, the teacher announces, and everything's a C or a number two. You circle B, 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 B. Then you find out, you know, it was C the whole time on those tests. Here's the last one. And this has been true of my life through most of high school. How much time do you spend conforming to others and their standards? Literally, you're like, I want what that person's got. And instead of discovering that it could be Jesus in their life, you just want to match that person. For me, growing up, I think most of my college years studying surfing and big wave surfing, as more information started coming out in the early 90s, Laird Hamilton was the name. He actually married a girl that was in my senior class in high school, and she was a great friend of mine. But I'll never forget when I saw the first footage of some of those big waves that were coming in at Makaha and Waimea, and then eventually the story of Jeff Clark and Mavericks came out here in our own state. And to see those big waves, I've never ridden one that big. No way. Maybe 20 feet, but not 60, 80. A lot of respect for those people, and I just think they're a little tad bit crazy too. I would have to ride one of those after staring at it for about 7 years, probably just looking at it, going through statistics, how long I could hold my breath underwater. But I remember trying to look and feel strong, reading all the documentaries I could on Laird. I don't think it was a complete waste, but I really would have loved to have more time looking at the strength and the commander-in-chief of my life, Jesus Christ. Spending more time to see how did he navigate relationships when I burned so many? How did he speak into someone's life when I've been asked so many questions and wanted to, and I unfortunately have given personal advice versus biblical advice? Jesus handled it right. And he demands our time. And our standards and how we look at other people, they're people. King Solomon had it together. If you look at your outline, moving to, what if we add it now? What if we include this in there? We pull this back in. There's a short little clip here, and I found this is really cool. This is on a kids' network. It was beautiful, and it's about a minute long.
That night, God spoke to me in a dream.
Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you.
My father, David, your servant, was honest and did what you commanded. You've made me king in my father's place, but I'm very young and know so little about being a leader. Please make me wise and teach me the difference between right and wrong. If you don't, there is no way I could rule this great nation of yours.
Solomon, I'm pleased that you asked for this. You asked for wisdom to make right decisions. So I'll make you wiser than anyone who has ever lived or ever will live. I'll also give you what you didn't ask for. You'll be rich and respected as long as you live, and you'll be greater than any other king.
Just a little glimpse as to what it might have been like. You know, to ask God for something like that. God, it's 2019. It's a brand new beginning. I really need this truck. I need a new golf cart or a set of four tires for my existing golf cart. I want that Patagonia Nano Puff. Everybody's got one. God, give me wisdom. Man, am I panicking in so many areas. My rent is due. My wife's going to walk out on me. My kids won't stop complaining. The teachers are nuts at the school. I have no idea what's going on with my life for the future year with finances. Or can you just say, I need wisdom? What's the wise thing to do? God, give me discernment. What does it look like? And then watch God give you all the other things you didn't ask for. That really did happen. He really did live. And he really is known for being very, very wise. Can you imagine asking God? Look at your outline. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give me understanding in my mind so that I can govern your people. Well, know the difference between right and what is wrong. Understanding leads to real life. Write it in. It leads to real life. Take a moment and write that in. Not superficial life or commitments. Real life. Proverbs 9:6. Leave behind your foolishness. Begin to live. Learn how to be wise. Once again, it's a journey. For some, it's the school of hard knocks. I realize that. It's still a journey. Real living leads to godliness. Big word. How about goodliness? Life-changing stuff. Real living begins to change your life. Give it a shot. Give it a week. Give it a month. Look and see what God may have to say about something by asking Him first. Once again, the wisest man. Proverbs tells us this in verse 10 of chapter 9. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to what? Once again, to what? All wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Now, at this point, we've turned in this message quite a bit. Hopefully, you can see there's something here that's tangible for your 2019. As I stood and I left that cemetery and we got in the car and we drove down the hill, I won't say that I was speechless, but it softened some corners in my life. I needed that closure. And I thought very carefully about the results of making wise decisions. Those who live right or act right do so because of some internal desire. It's more than just following the law or rules, because they just don't have those long-term motivations. When God is in charge, He leads you towards knowing understanding. That's a K-N-O-W. Not no understanding. Knowing understanding. As you draw close to Him and your life begins to change, wisdom and understanding comes here. There's not someone in this room that necessarily could be more wise than someone else when God's wisdom from Scripture is being offered to all of us. It's all available to each of you. Solomon just asked the right questions. God heard it. God blessed him for it. How often do we ask no question at all or the wrong questions? God, I want understanding. I want to know what your thinking is on this. In my parenting, in my marriage, in my decisions on how I spend this cash that I was just blessed with, in my new job, got a tough boss, how do I handle this situation? Understanding God's will for you. It's a big one. This is a topic for young adults that comes up a lot. What is God's calling in my life? What do I need to do with my life? Some people cycle through new ideas every 2 days. I see it on Facebook quite a bit. My personal advice has been what was given to me by a wonderful coach who loved God with all of his heart, played for the NASL back in the day, a great league. And Paul told me this. He said, Hobbs, you need to check out the Word of God, the Bible. How often do you read your Bible, son? We go to this school, but how often are you spending time on your own? He says, as you just develop the Word of God and time with it in your life, it'll become based in memory, which is the best. I found Scripture in a lot of different ways. One specific way that I love, and my wife knows this about me especially, I play music a lot. I don't see it as a distraction. I see it as an encouragement to me. I think really well when I have certain types of music playing, classical in the mornings. And I love music. And I'll see the presence of God and the Word of God many times in certain songs or musicians. My band up here, I know for a fact, they love music and they feel the same way. The presence of God through a singer or through a song or something you're experiencing, you can feel it. You can definitely tell the opposite as well. The presence of God in your life, that would be the Holy Spirit. Back in 1988, this guy happened to be just getting started. He went to a Christian college. Very quickly, he was mocked. He was called a hypocrite. He started what was called Christian hip-hop. And 7 Grammys later, 30 Emmys, we have movies, scripts, books. He's an author. He's a producer. He has traveled the world. I've met him 3 times. The last time was in this little thing called Festival Con Dios, outside of Lakeland, Florida, and we were in a tent. We had about 20 minutes, and it was a meet and greet with youth pastors, and I was the only guy that showed up. Toby Mac, one of our favorites, came out with a new album just recently called The Elements. And in July 2018, this song went number 1 on Billboard. And it starts off with this video of him looking a certain way, and then his eyesight begins to change as he begins to see the presence of God a little differently with people. As he discovers the presence of God in someone's life may not be what he first perceives. God may still be at work even when he looks at something one way and he needs to take a second look another way. You're going to love this video. Crank it up. If you guys have not seen Toby Mac, hang on for the ride and give it a try. All right? Let's give it a shot this morning. This is Toby Mac's song called Everything.
My space invaded, upgraded, I hear you talking to me. It It's in the boom of the thunder, it's in the cool of the rain. And I say, I don't ever want to get away. Tonight is beautiful, it's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is a reminder.
Spirit's in your face and in your eyes. Do you not see him in everything? It's more than just kids. It's so great. And you can better believe that I'm playing that music all the time around myself. YouTube it, baby. iTunes it. Apple Music it. Find it. Look for it. Fill your soul with it. Fill your ears with it. Let it enter your heart. Now, for some of you going, that music isn't my style, find something that is, that puts those words into your heart. Check out the direction of God in your life. Where is it? Where am I going? Stop. It's 2019. Take a minute. Look under the hood. Spend a minute at this intersection. The key word is prayer. Harrison, I know you got some big decisions to make on your summer. I have no idea what that looks like. I just know somebody who does. I know you're going to be a senior this year. That's a big one. What happens after? Are you going to start dating soon? All of those big decisions. Son, how much time are you spending praying? It was a boring conversation to my young adult, but it was all too real. And as a father, I was convicted as well. How much prayer am I putting into my son's life? Am I praying for him? I was convicted. The wisdom of others is my last one here. The key word is fellowship. I surround myself with some really cool people. This morning we had prayer time. We were sitting down there in front of Ben's Bakery. I just looked around the circle at all the diversity. It's a beautiful thing. Kids dancing in the middle of the circle. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this fellowship. If you felt like a Lone Ranger, you don't have to. It's available. All of these things are available to you. If you want a small group, it's available. If you don't know how to start it, you need to talk to a pastor or one of our leaders. You know who they are. You just say, I need to break in. I've been floating. I've been isolated. And I need change. I need the Holy Spirit to show me the presence of God around me, because I'm very judgmental. I'm very critical of others. I'm sick of being that way. I need something else to show me something different. Let's pray. And as we do, I invite our worship team up here. And I want you to know something. I know that we do communion every single first Sunday of the month. I know that. I don't want it to be regimented. Amen. I don't want it regimented. I don't want it to happen because we just do this the first Sunday of every month. You can have communion every day. We need communion in our spirit and our soul every day. We provide an opportunity here monthly, though. And I think it's great. I do think it's great. But don't let it become regimented. Look forward to it. Understand with discernment why communion was set for us as believers. It's sitting up here in the back. The elements are. And over here in the corner of the room. As you're speaking with God and having time with Him, and you have a relationship with Him, this is time for you to celebrate your faith and to ask God some of these deeper questions for 2019. Feel free to stand up and take the elements. I encourage you to. Jesus, I see you in everything, but only if I keep my eyes focused on those very words. Jesus, I see you in everything. Otherwise, I see a lot of stuff that makes me sick to my stomach. Sometimes I watch too much news. Sometimes I hear the wrong song playing. Or a negative person that I hang out with, and all they ever do is say negative things, and it rubs off on me. Jesus, I want to see you in everything. I peel away the malaise, and I apply the scripture where it needs to go today. With wisdom and understanding, I ask you, Father, to apply scripture to my heart. I want those things. Give me discernment. Pray that as you sit there. Ask God for those decisions and those relationships that need changing, or they need building up. They need true apologies. You need solid commitments for this year. Go to the one who created it all. Everything. Ask Jesus for those glasses and put them on. This is your time with Him, your communion with Him. Let nothing else interrupt you. Don't get up and walk away and miss this moment. It's for you. It's for Him and you. And I thank you in advance, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.